start discovering that God has you. He values you. He has made your masterpiece. And he didn't just make your masterpiece for nothing. He has a plan. Yes, teenager, young person, he's got a plan.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear part two of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, God's Great Masterpiece. In the first part of this message, which aired last week and taken from the book of Ephesians and the second chapter, Pastor Grant showed from God's Word how that every Christian is a one-of-a-kind divine masterpiece. He also showed us how God has actually created two masterpieces, the created universe and the redeemed child of God. But this evening, as he finishes up this message, Pastor Grant will show from the scriptures how this knowledge of how valuable we are to God and how central we are to his plans for the universe places upon every blood-bought child of God certain responsibilities. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians 2 and verses 1 through 10, and listen with us as Pastor Grant concludes his message, God's Great Masterpiece. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Good works can flow from your life and mine. Listen, believer, good works can flow because God has created us for good works. Listen, I don't have to keep saying I can't help it. Oh, sometimes we're living a life of sin and we're saying I can't help it. It's a lie. Anytime you tell yourself or the devil makes you believe you can't help it, it's not true. You can help it because God has created you for good works. But here's something I don't want you to miss in this passage. Because, listen, it says, God has created us for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you notice that? God has prepared these good works beforehand. We are God's valued masterpiece. What this passage is telling us, God has a plan. We are God's valued masterpiece, and he has a special plan for each of us. So listen, God didn't wait till you got saved and then try to figure out, let me try and find a plan for him. Let me try and find a plan for her. I hope you realize that's what the passage is saying. God didn't wait for you to get saved and then try to figure out the plan. The same God who made a decision to save you from eternity past, that same God designed a plan for your life. You heard what I'm saying? That same God has designed an incredible plan for your life. Way before you entered the scene, God had a plan for you that was waiting at the cross. The moment you showed up at the cross and said, Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. That minute, God's eternal plan became available for you to work out. For you to be able to recognize God's plan. That plan is operative the moment you said yes to Jesus. And my friend, the question is, have you discovered that plan? You know, the Word of God tells us here in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for what? For good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Aren't you glad God has a good plan for you? Have you ever heard the Bible verse, God helps those who help themselves? I'm sure, have you heard it? Don't raise your hand. But you know, a lot of people have quoted that Bible verse to me. God helps those who help themselves. In fact, sometimes when I tell them, do you know it's not in the Bible? They're like, what? They want to fight. Get a phone and Google it. Oh my, it really doesn't seem to be in there. But you know, sometimes we live as if God helps those who help themselves. Am I right about it? We come up with a plan and we say, Of course, we want God's blessing on our plan. So we come up with our plan and then we go to God and we say, God, here's my plan. Please bless it. Because God, I know you help those who help themselves. So I'm helping myself with this plan. Please, no, God, you make sure you bless my plan. Because I help myself. Here's the problem. God ain't going to bless your plan. You say, Pastor, are you sure? I'm going to tell you right now. God is not going to bless your plan. Write that down in your note. God is not going to bless your plan. Guess why? Because he has got a plan already. Are you with me? God already has prepared a plan for you that he has blessed. He's not going to bless your plan unless your plan is lined up with his plan. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If your plan is matching his plan, hallelujah, blessing is coming. But if your plan is your plan, he can't bless your plan. So I'm going to suggest to you, my friend, young people, older ones, listen, this morning, God is really saying something big time to us because God is saying, hey, it's time to set aside your plan. It's time to start looking at my plan. Start discovering that God has you. He values you. He has made your masterpiece. And he didn't just make your masterpiece for nothing. He has a plan. Yes, teenager, young person, he's got a plan. Young man came to visit me some time ago, and he said to me, he said he was about 20 years old, and he was struggling. He got saved when he was very young, and they had had a lot of problems in their family. His whole life was full of challenges and difficulty. And he came to me and he said, my faith is being shaken because I'm not really sure God really has a plan for me. Because if God had a plan, why would I go through all this drama? Have you ever had that thought? Some years ago, we visited Normandy, France. Now, for those of you who remember your history, Normandy is where the Allies landed in World War II as they tried to rout out the Germans and to kick them out of Europe. It was really a wonderful trip. And we had an amazing guide. He was a guy who was a law professor, and he had given up law to do tours. He said, America, France owes so much to America for liberating us. He said, I want to spend the rest of my life showing the Americans my beloved Normandy. It was just really a pleasure to be with him. But one of the stories, he told me a lot of stories. Some you'll hear, you may hear another time. But one of the stories he told us was about what happened to Caen. C-A-E-N. He said, in order to liberate Caen from the Germans, the Americans bombed Caen so badly that 80 to 90% of the city was destroyed. He said, as a result of that, the Germans started trying to get the French to turn against the Americans and the Allies. And the Germans said, these people don't care for you. Look at what they've done to your country. Look at what they've done to your city. They have totally devastated your city. They don't really care about you. So I said to him, I said, so how did the French respond? And how did the people of Caen in particular respond? He looked calmly at me and he said, we realized that if you're going to make an omelet, you've got to break some eggs. You know, there are three lessons I want to leave very quickly with you. From that simple statement, if we're going to make an omelet, we're going to have to break some eggs. Number one, sometimes the only way to get the enemy out is by incredible bombardment, inflicting incredible pain. The Germans were so bunkered in, the Americans had to bomb them and bomb them and bomb them. And in the spiritual, sometimes our lives are so infested and infected, you know, because of some of the stuff that we were in. Listen, the sin has been so entrenched in our lives. Some bad habits are being so entrenched in our life. The only way God can get them out is by some serious spiritual surgery, because the cancer, the infection has spread, and God has to do divine surgery and cut some of that mess out. to get you to where you are, he sometimes has to do very painful surgery. But the other thing that I learned from that is, if you're going to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. If you're going to make something of value, often pain has to be inflicted. Just imagine you were that big stone that the sculptor was going to make this incredible work of art from, where he was going to express his inner being. Can you imagine that piece of stone as the chisel is being pounded into the stone? Can you imagine how much pain, if that stone had feeling, how much pain it would be experiencing? And I'm here to tell you, as God tries to make us into what he wants to be, as he tries to make us into the very image of Christ, you can better believe that you're going to feel sometimes his chisel. Sometimes you're going to feel his hammer on your life. As God works, you are going to experience pain as he tries to make a thing of beauty and grace for you in your life. The third thing I don't want you to miss. Because what ended up happening is that the Germans came and they said, these Americans don't mean you well. Now, most of the French believed that the Americans did. But after seeing all that had gone on, and after being taunted and encouraged by the Germans, there were some French who said, we don't want to have the Allies anymore. There were some who turned their backs, yes, on the Allies and the Americans because of all the devastation. And do you know what the devil has done? There are Christians who have turned their back because the devil has said, if God really loves you, how could he allow you to go through such pain?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Oh, I'm probably speaking to somebody here this morning, and the devil has said to you, how could he really have a plan for you? How could he love you and allow you to experience so much pain? And this morning, God wants to remind you again that you are his valued masterpiece and that he has a plan for you. And regardless of what you go through as a believer in Jesus Christ, what we need to do is to grab a hold of that reality that you are God's masterpiece and you're worth everything to him. Amen. When you start recognizing who you are in Christ, you recognize that God only has your best interest at heart. And therefore, like what Job did, you can say, though he may slay me, yet I will trust in him. And my friend, there's somebody here that the Spirit of God is speaking to, because there's somebody here who has a little bit of anger, a little bit upset with God because of what God has done in your life. And this morning, God, by his Spirit, speaks to you and he says, saying to you, let it go. I love you. You're my masterpiece. Trust me. I've got you covered. I've got your back. Walk with me and let me show you this master plan I have in store for you. Where are we? Number one, we got to appreciate our value in Christ. Secondly, we must acknowledge that God has an amazing plan for us. And third, we must commit to a daily walk of obedience. Oh, please don't miss this one, because this is it. So the young man, he said to me, listen, if God has a plan, why doesn't he just show me? Lay it out. Why all the mystery? Oh, you've been there, haven't you? Why all the mystery? He said, listen, God, show me which girl I'm to date. He was just coming off a heartbroken. Of course, the poor fellow, his heart was broken. He was dating a girl who wasn't saved. And thank God she broke his heart. You say, are you for real? Yes. If you end up marrying an unsaved person, guess what? It's better to have the heartbreak now than to have the heartbreak later. Somebody ought to say amen. I've told you before that B. Sam Hart used to fly planes, the founder of the church. He was a pilot. And I'll never forget one of the things he said in one of his messages, because, by the way, he did crash a couple of times, one of them into a swimming pool. But I can talk about him since he's not here anymore. But one of the things he always said, he said, as a pilot, one thing I've learned is always better to be on the ground wishing you're in the air than to be in the air wishing you were on the ground. Amen? My friend, you are much better off. The one thing you don't want is to be married to somebody and wishing you were single. But listen, if you're married, you better stay right where you are, because that is God's plan for you. Now, let's come back. So my boy said to me, he said, if God would just lay out the plan, it would avoid me making all these mistakes. Not necessarily. Because, you know, sometimes when we know what God's plan is, we say, well, I really don't like it. Right? So, no guarantee. So the key is for me to agree in advance, I'm committed to obeying what God tells me to do regardless. You say, how does this relate to our passage? There's a little phrase in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which is so powerful, but yet we almost always miss it. Here's what it says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Are you seeing it? The plan is there. All it takes is for us to walk in the plan. To every day do what God tells us to do today. Stop looking for the big picture and do what God tells you to do today. Just so happens that this week, a neighbor, somebody in our neighborhood, he visited the church to have prayer. And he said to Brother Peters, I don't know the gentleman, but he said to Brother Peters, he said, would you please pray for me that God would make a way for me? Would you pray that God would make a way for me? Brother Peters told me the story. He didn't realize how this is all about my message. Brother Peters looked to him and said, because he had shared that he was a believer, Brother Peter said, God has already made a way for you. All you have to do is walk in it. Are you getting it? God has a plan for you. All you have got to do is walk in it. Every single day, make a decision. I am going to obey what God tells me to do today. Young person, young adult, God has a big plan for you. And some of you want to do your own way. Listen, I'm warning you as a father and as a grandfather, if you keep going down the way you are going to shipwreck your life. God has a plan for you. And what you need to do is to walk in his plan. And so I'll close with the story I told this young man. And it's a story I've told you before, but I'm going to tell it to you again because it ties in so well with the message today. I was 20 years of old, and I had just finished my devotions and turned off the light to go to sleep. And somehow God wouldn't leave me alone. And God said to me, I'm to get up, turn on the light, and write out a sermon. Now, you got to realize it didn't make sense, because I had never preached. No one wanted me to preach, nor did I want to preach. And God is haunting me, and he's given me the outline for a sermon, and I am not a preacher or have a desire to be one. God kept at it so long that I eventually turned on the light and wrote out this 3-page sermon that would die eventually. Or so I thought. The strangest thing happened that had never happened before. About 4 weeks later, one of the leaders of the church called and said, "Brian, I am supposed to preach in such and such a church in the country part, and I can't go. Can you preach for me?" Well, you all know what I said. What do you think I said? Oh, you're so spiritual. The spiritual one said, I said yes, because they think I'm spiritual. But I said, no. Why would I say yes? I said, no, I'm not a preacher. The man said, "I think you can do it." Well, he had some faith. I said, "What about brother so-and-so?" He said, "I tried him." I said, "What about brother so-and-so?" "I tried him." "What about so-and-so?" I went down the whole list, everybody I knew. He tried everybody. I was a last resort. And then he finally gave me the clincher. And he said, "You're the only one with a car." Can you imagine? That was my only credit. It's good to have a car and gas. Now here's what you know where I'm going with this. You see where I'm going with this? 4 weeks earlier, God had asked me to do something that made no sense, and I had obeyed. And here it is. God is asking me to do another thing that is way outside my comfort zone. I have never done anything like this. Don't want to do anything like this. All I have is a car and gas. But I eventually said yes. I wonder if you see the connection, how God used those two steps of obedience. Were it not for those two steps of obedience, I would never have discovered that part of God's plan was for me to be sharing this story with you today. Are you with me? God used these two steps of obedience. And by his grace, here I am, a preacher of the gospel of Christ. A person who had no interest in preaching, who nobody wanted to preach, but by his grace. And I want to ask you, what is God waiting for you to say yes to? Because some of us only want to stay in our comfort zone. Oh, I don't want to do it because I don't thwart God's plan because it's not in your comfort zone. Don't miss, young person, older person, don't miss out on God's plan for you. And so today the message is, you are highly valued. You are his valued masterpiece. And God has an amazing plan for you. But for you to realize the plan, you've got to commit to a daily walk of obedience. Will you do that? Will you do that? Christian, will you do that? Hey, some of you are not, you haven't started on the road yet. You're not saved. The first act of obedience is to meet him at the cross. And say, "Lord Jesus, thanks for dying for me. Please come into my heart and save me today." And then, wow, the journey begins.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." My friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.